Let's pray. Hey, Lord, thank you so much for this time to be together, for the study of your word. Lord, open our hearts, our minds to hear this word, to receive this word, but to live this word in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the congregation to be seated. You know, we're finishing up our baptism series this morning. And as a culmination of that series, we're celebrating with 48 individuals who are taking the next step in their faith formation and development. You see, we began this series 4 weeks ago at taking a deeper look into what the Bible says about baptism. Answering questions such as, why should we baptize? Why even is there baptism? Who is to be baptized? How should baptism be done? And then what does it mean to live as a baptized child of God? First week, we learned that baptism is a sacrament, one of the two in our church body, baptism, Lord's Supper, in which baptism combines and unites God's all-powerful word. When we say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with simple water, God shows up in a divine way. God shows up in an extraordinary way. In that divine act, God gives us his Holy Spirit. He creates faith in us, forgives our sins, creates new life in us, and promises eternal salvation. We also learned that our sinful nature, both that we're born with sin and that we commit sin daily, demands punishment. You know, scripture is very clear in Romans 6:23. It says, the wages of sin is death. I mean, that's just awful. You know, the little sin, the big sin, the habitual sins, the ones we commit, the ones we forget about doing. Sins of omission, commission. But that verse continues on, but the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so we looked at the reasons why we would want to be baptized, why we need baptism. Because the biggest one is that it connects us with Jesus. Baptism connects us to Jesus. His life, his death, that we might live. Because it's commanded by our Lord himself. Because baptism offers the forgiveness of sins. Because baptism gives us the Holy Spirit, creates faith in us. Because baptism promises eternal salvation to all who believe. Second week, we learned that all nations means all y'all, everybody, regardless of age or gender or demographic. We learned that baptism is not about our confession, that we bring nothing to the waters of holy baptism. We show up and God does the heavy lifting. Baptism, God working in and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Randy shared with us last week that how we baptize doesn't matter. It's that we apply water. That water's applied. And then we got to hear the great theologian Mater from the movie Cars, that he quoted, just get her done. So this morning, I want to bring it all together. And I want to talk about a call to action that we read in Acts chapter 8 about an Ethiopian official, about what it means to be a baptized child of God, and what does it mean now for us to live in our baptismal identity. You see, some of us have been baptized a long time ago, and we forgot it, we didn't remember it, we didn't know about it, we were told about it, but you're baptized. And I think so many times we forget or we take it for granted what that actually means. And so I really want to talk to us today about what it means to live as a baptized child of God, that good, bad, indifferent, struggles, pain, whatever it is, I can say, I am baptized. I'm God's child. I belong to him. And as Romans 8 says, neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nothing can ever separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. I'm a little fired up this morning. Sorry, not sorry. Acts chapter 8. It's going to be on page 916 if you're using the Bibles in front of you. Actually, it'll be on 917. And I want you to look at this story about this Ethiopian official and the encounter that he had with Philip. Let's begin at verse 26, chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, Rise and go toward the south of the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. Now, I want you to think about this. Philip is open to hearing the word of God. Now, how did that happen to him? Was it an audible voice? Was it a nudge? Was it his, we don't know. But what I love about it is that he was open to the Spirit's prompting. That means he was available. He wasn't so filled with so much stuff in his life and so busy schedules that, here am I, send me, send me. Verse 27, and he rose and went. He was obedient. He heard the call, he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This official was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, we don't really understand what this all means because he went to Jerusalem to worship, but he wouldn't have been allowed in the temple. He may have heard something read that day in the temple from the outcourts or the outside, and it was Isaiah 53, and he was perplexed. He was, The story unfolds as Philip, prompted by the Spirit, encounters this Ethiopian official where he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, as I said, he most likely would not have been able to enter into the temple, which would also mean he wasn't able to receive forgiveness of his sins. He wouldn't have gone through the sacrificial system, the Old Testament rites of sacrificing an animal. And we're not sure what it meant that he went to Jerusalem to worship. I mean, what did he do? Did he just watch? Did he call that word? I don't know. We don't know. But that illustrates further this incredible divine appointment that God has for this Ethiopian official through Philip. Look at verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. I mean, imagine that. You are minding your own business. Holy Spirit says, hey, go meet this guy. And oh, by the way, it's an Ethiopian official, incredibly trusted. He's with all the treasury of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. So there's going to be guards. There's going to be all kinds of regalia. And just go join the chariot. And what does Philip do? He ran to him. I mean, that's awesome. He is obedient to this prompting of the Spirit. And he heard the Ethiopian official reading Isaiah the prophet, and I loved how he engages him. Philip doesn't say, hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? Or do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? No, he approached the individual where they were. It's an awesome recipe for talking faith. Y'all, it's not that hard. We make it so overcomplicated. We think we got to memorize some 10-point outline. We got to know the Roman road. We got to know this. You know what? Open your mouth. Luke 12 actually says the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Do you understand what you're reading? And look how the Ethiopian official answers verse 31. He said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Invitation extended, invitation accepted. Philip responds. He's looking for an opportunity to share his faith, and he met the official where he was. Let me take a quick detour. I want you to see what's happening here. Philip was one of the seven chosen by the disciples in Acts chapter 6 to assist them in the ministry. So go back one page to Acts chapter 6, verses 3 to 4. There was some struggles that the disciples, remember they had like 3,000 added to their number and they kept increasing, and there's not enough of them to do all the ministry. Verse 3, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom you will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Philip is not one of the original 12 disciples. He was what we call a deacon or an evangelist, chosen by the disciples, the apostles of 12 or 11, with a daily distribution of food. Yes, they were set apart by the disciples. But and by the way, I am not diminishing my role or my education when I say this, my seminary training. I want you to hear that loud and clear. I love what I do, and I love how the theological formation I had going to the seminary. But Philip didn't have any formal seminary training with Jesus. And yet he's doing ministry. What do I take from that? Y'all, you don't have to be a pastor to share God's word. You're a follower of Jesus. The Great Commission that says, go make disciples of all nations, that means you too. My job, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, is to equip the saints for the building up of the body of Christ. My job is really to help y'all do the work of the ministry. Helping more people live life with Jesus cannot be done just by the four pastors here. You are the priesthood of a believer. You are the body of Christ. You are a people claimed by God, forgiven, redeemed, marked by your baptism, given the gift of the Holy Spirit, redeemed by Jesus, forgiven of your sins, to live out your baptismal identity. And here's Philip explaining the scriptures to this Ethiopian official, and his heart was open to receive the truth of God's word. Remember, the word of God is a means of grace. And he heard the message of the gospel because Philip was available. Philip was obedient. Philip pointed him to Jesus as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. There's a great section in Romans chapter 10 where Paul writes, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now, I got to tell y'all something. Some of y'all, well, okay, I would say me. We don't have good-looking feet. Our feet are kind of, I'm telling you, you don't like your feet, go share the gospel. You got some beautiful-looking feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who are obedient and go. Share the good news of Jesus. Back to Acts. Verse 32, Acts 8, 32. Now the passage of scripture that the Ethiopian official was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who could describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch then said to Philip, dude, no, he didn't say that, but you know, the DSV says dude, Dan Shepman version. Y'all just got that, didn't you? About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? Is he talking about himself or about someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news of Jesus. Isaiah 53 is the suffering servant section. That by his stripes we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. Philip's answer was to proclaim Jesus as his Messiah, beginning with this text. Then he unfolded the rest of the Old Testament, and the result, look at verse 36. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And the official commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Now, let me go full circle back to week one. Remember the sermon that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. Remember what happened? He preached this amazing sermon. The people in verse 37, Acts 2:37, they said, when they heard this message, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter's response, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now look how cool this is. Verse 39. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are from Ethiopia, who are from far off. Man, this text is being interpreted and lived out right before our very eyes. For everyone who the Lord our God calls to himself. This is a fulfillment of Matthew 28, the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, how? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Philip is living out the marching orders of Acts chapter 1:8, where Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Spirit prompted Philip to go. The Spirit gave Philip the words to say, and you will be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. Biblical historians say and surmise that this Ethiopian official brought the gospel to Ethiopia. You want to talk about ends of the earth? And then look at verse 39. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. But then look, here's baptismal identity right here. And the Ethiopian official went on his way, what? Rejoicing. Y'all, that's what it means to live out our baptismal identity. In the waters of holy baptism, we are marked as beloved children of God. We're called by him, given the gift of the Holy Spirit to live fully alive in God's grace. We're guided by the Spirit. You see, our baptism is not just a past event. It's a present reality that shapes everything we do, that it can direct our daily living and give us hope for the future, and it promises me eternal life. Y'all, I know one day I'm gonna die, and I know one day I'm gonna be in heaven. Why? Because I am baptized. I'm a baptized child of God. My spouse, my kids, they can grieve with hope because they know I'm in heaven. They know I'm with Jesus. Let me close with this. An elderly pastor moved. Maybe I shared this story with you before. If I have, forgive me. Just act like you haven't heard it, okay? An elderly pastor moved into a new community, and he was assumed some of the responsibilities of a local church. Warmly greeted by the congregation, but they couldn't help but not notice the odd way he would introduce himself. You see, if someone would come up and introduce themselves to this pastor, they would extend their hand to shake his. But instead of reaching out to grasp their hand immediately, he would take his left hand and he placed it on his head. And then he extended his right hand just to greet that other person. Everybody wondered, what's this dude doing? What is that all about? But, you know, no one's going to ask. Well, that is until they met little Johnny. A couple weeks later, it was one of those moments when between the services, a large group of people still hanging out in the narthex, or the worship commons, whatever you want to call it. A new family is introduced to the pastor. That pastor did his usual thing. Nobody's paying attention anymore. Until little Johnny blurted out, Pastor? Why do you do that? That's weird. Why do you put your hand on your head? Man, E.F. Hutton speak. You know, remember that commercial? I just dated myself. Everybody stopped to listen. All became silent. All eyes now focused on the scene because now we're going to finally hear what it's all about. Thank you, little Johnny. The pastor then knelt down, got eye to eye with that little boy. He said, Johnny, the reason why I put my hand on my head as I shake hands is to remind me of my baptism. When I place my hand on my head, I'm reminded that God placed his hand on me. It tells me, reminds me that I am baptized. And I'm going to be introduced as a child of God. You see, one of the most powerful parts of baptism for me, in addition to the actual baptism, is when I say to an infant, a child, an adult, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Remember who you are. You are a baptized child of God. Marked by God. And because God has brought you into this relationship with him, redeemed you by the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ, forgiven you all your sin, given you the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have a new identity. We don't have to listen to what the world says about us. We don't have to listen to what the negative self-talk we have about ourselves. We can say all we want to, we're not worthy, or we're not good enough, or we're not smart enough, or we're not pretty enough, or we're not tall enough, or you name it. Those are lies of the evil one. Stop. In the name of Jesus, stop. You are baptized. You are a child of God. Even when life's not fair, even when life throws you a curveball, even when you're struggling, when you're dealing with excruciating pain or sorrow, grief or loss, when you feel nothing but emptiness or fear, when you're ready to just give it all away, give it all up, you are baptized. And so I close with this the first week, and I'm gonna close at the end. Lord, when I get discouraged by my troubles in life, remind me of my baptism. Lord, when I'm tempted to doubt your love for me, remind me that I'm yours. Lord, when I sin against you and then seek your mercy, remind me of my baptism. Lord, when I'm tempted to go against your will, remind me that I am yours. Lord, as long as I live, remind me of my baptism. Remind me that I am yours. May God grant that to each of us for Jesus' sake. To him alone be the glory. Amen.